for the text of Scripture this morning in the book of 2 Kings chapter number 5. 2 Kings chapter number 5, if you would, and I'm going to read the first four verses, and as time permits, we will read other verses throughout the message in the passage here. But for right now, we'll read 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. We have been preaching about unstoppable in missions this week, unstoppable church, unstoppable calls, unstoppable calling. Friday night, this morning, in Sunday school hour, our unstoppable commitment. Give and make that commitment and see it through all the way to the end. And that ought to be unstoppable, by the way. And then this morning, I want to bring a message on what I call our unstoppable concern. And our emphasis is going to be on our affection in mission. Stand with me as we read verse number 1. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but, he was a leper. That seems to take a bit of the juice out of what he just said. What a great man, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." Then there's one verse of Scripture I'll not turn to, but I'll read. It says, "My eye affected mine heart." Lamentation 3, in verse 51. You see, as the people of God, as we claim to be, we ought to have a heartfelt concern for the lost souls and have a heart to love them to Jesus and to get the message of the gospel of Christ, saving grace to them. That's the thought of the message this morning. Now, Father, I've studied, I've prayed, I've sought you. Nothing else I can do but just preach it. I need your help this morning, Lord. Pray you'll help me to say a word in season that'll help somebody to get on fire for God about loving souls and getting them to Jesus. Speak to our hearts now. It's beautiful illustration of concern hidden away in the Old Testament of this little maid. Speak to us, we pray now. And Lord, if there would be somebody here or somebody listening to my voice via live stream this morning who's never been saved by the grace of God, I pray that you'll help them to come to Christ this morning now, before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here, tucked away in the Old Testament, is a beautiful illustration of salvation by the grace of God. You see, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, God's plan of salvation is still the same. It's by grace through faith, Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says. Titus 3 and verse 5 tells us basically the same thing, that it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And he goes on to talk about how by grace we're saved. Romans 4 and verse 3 talks about how that Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness when he just trusted God's plan. Somebody said, well, preacher, is the grace in the Old Testament? Oh, yes. The whole world was in sin, according to Genesis 6 and verse 5. And the imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, you won't find a sweeter illustration of the grace of God anywhere in the Bible than you will in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 9, the story of David and Mephibosheth. What a beautiful picture of the grace of God. So Old Testament, New Testament, salvation is by grace through faith. Now, before I get into the message, I just wanted to mention three thoughts to our hearts, and then we'll get into the main message this morning. These are not in your outline. You might want to write them down. Three things about Naaman and the story of Naaman. I think it tells the story. First, there's what I call the miserable condition of Naaman. I said a while ago in verse 1 that he was a leper. And leprosy in the Bible is a picture of sin, a type of the sinner. It was a horrible disease and condition where the skin, the meat of the skin would just rot off of the bones of the body and fall off. When somebody had leprosy, it would get worse and worse, and there's a whole lot of comparisons, and it's not my purpose to preach about the leprosy being a type of sin, but there's several things about leprosy that you, if you studied it, you would find it compares to sin. One thing is it's contagious, just like sin is. It brings separation. The leper had to live in a leper colony all by themselves from the rest of the peoples of the nation. And whenever that somebody would begin to approach a leper, he would have to cover his face and cry, unclean, unclean. He had to live in a state of separation. That's what sin does. It separates from all that's good. It separates from God. The ultimate separation will be separation from God in a place that's called hell. So there was his miserable condition. And then it talks about his mistaken conceptions. You'll see that in verses 3 and 6, when he did go to Israel, as the maid had recommended, that he went to the wrong person, and then he went with the wrong price. He thought he could buy his cleansing with silver and gold. There's no way to do that. You see, it's only by the blood of Jesus Christ is a heart cleansed. And then he went with the wrong procedure in verse number 11. He thought he could do it his way. He thought he could dip himself in the pure waters of Abana and Pharpar, the rivers in Syria. But that wasn't God's way, and that wouldn't work. So there was his mistaken conceptions. But then, thank God, the Scripture tells us about his marvelous conversion of verse number 14 that involved a cleansing, it involved a change, it involved then a certainty of what had happened. But as we look at our Scripture, added to that miserable condition of Naaman and the mistaken conceptions and his marvelous conversion was what I call his maid's concern. She was concerned about her boss, Naaman now, as he is. And quickly, and I'll just have the time to mention this, and hopefully you can write it down and study it. But I want you to notice four things with me this morning about this maid's concern. First of all, notice that she had a humble position. She was a little maid, the Bible says, a little slave girl that Naaman had brought with him from one of his expeditions, one of his campaigns in the northern Israel. And he brought back this little slave girl. But you see, although her position may have been humble, yet God often uses small things and insignificant things, little known people, to accomplish great tasks for him. Think about how he used Joseph, just a 17-year-old teenager boy, when he was sold off into slavery, and how God used Joseph to save the whole nation and the people of Israel. And then how that Daniel was a teenager when he was deported off to Babylon, some 800 miles away from his beloved Jerusalem. By the way, that was like being on the other side of the world in those days. But yet, as insignificant as a Daniel seemed to be, yet God used him in a mighty way. In fact, he outlived that pagan king that had captivated him. It says Daniel purposed in his heart in chapter 1, verse 8. And then it says in verse 21 of that same chapter that Daniel continued beyond the life of Nebuchadnezzar, the king, the old ruthless king that had taken him captive. And the reason that he could continue was in verse 21 was because he purposed in his heart in verse number 8. But God used him in a mighty way. Think about Ruth, a Moabitess lady in Moab. And the Moabites were not even allowed to enter the congregation of Israel until the 10th generation because of their wicked sin against God. But yet Ruth was saved by the grace of God, and she became the wife of Boaz and the great-grandmother of King David, and she's in the bloodline. In the Matthew chapter number 1. I think of little David, just a little shepherd boy on the hills of Bethlehem, keeping his sheep, but became the great king of Israel, a man after God's own heart. And how insignificant David seemed to be as a young lad keeping those sheep, but God mightily used him. She may have had a little power about her because her position was humble, but I'll tell you, she had a full measure of God's grace stored up in her little heart. But then I want you to know, by the way, your position may be some humble. And you may say, preacher, I'm nobody. I can't do anything. It may seem insignificant. But I want to tell you that God can use you if you'll give yourself to Him and allow Him to use you. In fact, Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "Who hath despised the day of small things?" Doesn't matter how insignificant you may think you are, no matter how humble your position might be, I'm here to tell you this morning, thank God, that you will give yourself to God. God can use you, and God will use you for what He wants to use you for. Notice secondly, if you would, not only does she have a humble position, but she had an honorable purpose. I love this in verses 3 and 4. You know what her purpose was that was so honorable? She did everything in her present circumstance to get that leper to the prophet in Israel. Now, that leads me to ask the question, are you doing everything that you possibly can do to get sinners cured of this awful disease of sin? A disease that has sent their soul crashing off into a Christless hell forever if we do not reach them with it. Are you doing what you can do? You remember when Jesus was in Bethany in Mark chapter 14 and the woman came and burst open an alabaster box of very expensive perfume and poured it on the feet of the head of Jesus. And later on it says that it was the feet also in John chapter 12. And the disciples, some of the disciples complained about it, fussed about it, said this was a great waste. Here's what Jesus said in Mark 14, verse 8. He said, let her alone. She hath done what she could do. She hath done what she could do. Have you done what you can do to get the gospel to the world? Notice a third thing, if you would please. Not only does she have a humble position and she had an honorable purpose, but notice that she expressed a hopeful proclamation. Now, what was that? Well, verse 4, one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. Verse 3 tells us what that proclamation was. She said, oh, just would to God that we could get Naaman to the prophet in Israel. He could cure him of this disease. And I'll tell you, my dear friend, she expressed a hopeful proclamation. You'll see on down in the verses, around verses 9 and 10 and following, it was a message of cleansing. When he finally got to the man of God, went to the wrong person, went to the king of Israel first, and had letters from the king of Syria saying, hey, cure this fellow. And the king of Israel said, who do you think I am, God? I can't cure anybody of this disease. And even tore his clothes. He was so frustrated over it. And he couldn't do it. And when Elijah, the man of God, heard about it, he said, hey, he said, verse number 8, he said, the king of Israel, you don't need to tear your clothes. He said, just send him to me. And so Naaman came in a great parade, myriad of horses and chariots to the man of God. He thought the man of God was going to come out and call fire down from heaven or do something great. And old Elijah said, I don't even have time for it. Sent his servant out and said, I'm too busy studying the word of God and praying. Deacon, you go out there and tell old, give Naaman a message from me. And the message is, tell him to go jump in the river. Now what he told him? He said to go dunk yourself in the Jordan River. And that infuriated this proud Syrian commander, the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. A big shot, he thought he was. And his heart was filled with pride. He said, what kind of a message is that? He said, I could have done that up there in the good waters of our rivers in Syria. I'm getting out of here. I'm leaving here. And one of his servants had a whole lot more sense than he had. He said, Naaman said, look, if he had bid you to go do some great thing, why, you would have been glad to attempt it. You would have done what he said to do. If he wanted you to stand on his head, your head and count to 100 or something, you would have gladly tried to do that. But all he's telling you is the way that you can be cleansed. He said, just you don't have anything to lose. Just come on and do what the man of God said to do. And so he goes down and finally consents into the Jordan, old dirty Jordan River. And he goes down one time, and he comes up and looks, and he still has his disease. He goes down the second time, goes down the third time, still got it. You look at that, this thing not work. The man of God said seven times, amen. Do what the man of God said to do. This thing not going to work. Went down the fourth time. Come on, nothing. Fifth time. Sixth time. But the seventh time you went down, came up. He was cleansed. You see, God's way is the only way. Now you can try any other way, but there's no cleansing except God's way. And verse number 14 tells us, and he went down and dipped in seven times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. Hallelujah. and he was clean. You see, he's cured now of that awful disease. Oh, my dear friend, isn't it wonderful when we see God cure the disease of leprosy, that spiritual leprosy, and an old sinner? Brother Roper, I've not seen near as many cleansed and cured as I'd like to. But I've seen some. And I've seen God save old drunks. Never went to an AA meeting in their life. And never drank another drop of whiskey after they trusted Christ to be their Savior. I've seen God cure that old disease. If you're here this morning and you've got that dreaded disease of sin, you're on your way to hell, I won't tell you, God's got a cure for you. You can be cured this morning before you leave this building. And so it was a message of cleansing, a message of cure. It was a message of change, because verses 15 and following, you'll see what a change that it was made in him. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Oh, I'm telling you the truth of Almighty God this morning. There was a change. He had a change of heart about money. I mean, it didn't mean anything to him. He tried to give it away. Isn't it interesting that whenever somebody gets saved, they won't start giving? That's the truth. When old Zacchaeus got saved, Jesus said, come on down out of that tree, Zacchaeus, for today I'm going to your house. And old Zacchaeus bailed out to go to Jesus. Somebody asked me one time, said, when do you think Zacchaeus got saved? I said, the very split second he bailed out of that tree, jumped off that limb to go to Jesus. I believe if he'd have hit the ground wrong, broke his neck, he'd have gone into the paradise of God. Amen. Because it took just a second or two for him to hit the ground, but I believe he was saved somewhere between the limb and the ground. Amen. And you see, the first thing Zacchaeus wanted to do, he wanted to give. He was a rich man. He was a tax collector, a hated man. But he said, Lord, if I've cheated anybody, I'll give back fourfold. I'm willing to give. You got a problem about giving, you might ought to check up and examine yourself to see if you're in the faith, amen, because of the fact that God's people want to give because they realize God's given so much to them. Finally, you'll notice on your paper that she not only had a humble position and an honorable purpose, and she expressed a hopeful proclamation, but thank God she exercised an honest passion. This is what I want to leave with our hearts today. Verse 1, old Naaman was all of these things mentioned, a great man in the eyes of the king of Syria. But, he was a leper. And that little maid exercised a deep concern. And this is what got the ball rolling for Naaman to get to the prophet in Israel to be healed. I want to say this, and I mean it from my heart this morning, that one of the greatest concerns as a child of God, one of the greatest concerns I have as a preacher of the gospel, is that we just don't have a heartfelt concern for sinners like we need. Lamentation chapter 1 and verse 12, Jeremiah the weeping prophet went up and down the countryside preaching and weeping because judgment was coming to the nation of Judah, and he knew it, and it broke his heart. And he said this in Lamentation 1 and verse 12 as he was lamenting the obvious and imminent destruction of his beloved nation. He said this. He said, is it nothing to you that pass by? I'm hearing the footsteps of men and women going back and forth on their merry way as nothing is about to happen. Is it nothing to you that pass by? Judgment is coming. I want to say to our hearts this morning, folks, judgment's coming. Oh, it's coming on our nation, but it's coming on every sinner that dies in their sins without the Savior. The psalmist said, Psalm 142, looked on my right, on my left. No man cared for my soul. How sad of a commentary. No man cared for my soul. What about your neighbor? What about your friends, your family? Can they look around and say, no man cared for my soul? What's it going to be like when we stand before Almighty God? Now, we will not stand to be judged at the great white throne judgment like sinners will. I believe we'll be there. And I believe that's when our hearts are going to weep just out of control, because we're going to see our loved ones cast off into the lake of fire. And we'll be reminded of all of those times that we could have led them to Christ, or at least made an attempt to do it. And we passed up the opportunity to talk to our neighbors, because we were afraid what they'd think about us, our friends, our family. Then we'll see them cast off into the lake of fire. And I believe we're going to weep, and that's when God's going to take his big old hanky and wipe the tears from our eyes, and all the burdens will be gone from this world forever. What I'm saying this morning is, we need to be concerned about sinners. Jesus said in Mark 8, verse 36, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I tell you, friend, there's a world out there that's got this disease of sin. God help us. But we'll be concerned about it. And express that concern. What a priceless treasure that old Naaman brought with him out of that war down in northern Israel. They got the ball rolling to get him to the prophet of God in Israel. Oh, what a little preacher she turned out to be. I mean, she really was a preacher, wasn't she? And not in the same sense that we think today, but oh, she preached a message to him that got him cured. Her testimony changed him completely. Is it nothing to you that pass by? I tell you, it's nothing less than a miracle of God when God takes an old, wicked, hell-bound sinner and completely changes his life and direction forever. I've never been a big fan of Bob Harrington, brother. Saunders. Thank God that God used him. God used him in a mighty way. Bob Harrington was called the Bourbon Street Preacher of New Orleans. He had a boldness about him, had a compassion about him. And he had a unique ministry in that he would take the gospel right into the hell holes of the world. He'd go into honky tonks and bar rooms and striptease joints. And preach the gospel. He'd just go in and go to preaching. And many, many old sinners got saved. Bob Harrington was in the city of San Antonio, Texas, one time. And he noticed that while he was downtown that there was a striptease club called the Green Gate Bar and Striptease Joint. Old Bob Harrington went right in and went to preaching. And you know what? He led the owners, a man and his wife owned it. He led them to Christ. And they got gloriously saved. I heard their testimony later on. And I heard them tell about how God saved them from that life of sin because that the man of God came and preached. And here's what they did. They had a big old flashing light flashing sign out front to advertise their club. And when they got saved, they put up a big sign that says "Gold Green Gate Striptease Club Closed Forever." gave our hearts to Jesus. See you in church on Sunday. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. God, give us some concern to take this gospel message out into the regions beyond, a world of lost souls. They're all around us, everywhere we look. God can cleanse them. He can cure them. He can change them. But He needs some people with a heartfelt concern who will love them to Jesus and take the gospel to them. Now here's my question in closing. Will you be that person? Will you commit to be that person? Let me tell you, you can be if you want to be. And even this morning, you have a chance to do more than you could ever think about doing if you would just give yourself to the Lordship of Christ. Here's another question that I'd like to ask before I close. Are you saved? Are you saved? Do you know without any doubt that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? If you don't know that, I won't tell you. We got the cure for your disease. Jesus can save you. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse from all. You can leave this building knowing you're saved. You listening live stream, you'll be saved today. God loves you. Jesus died to save you. And He'll save you if you'll come to Him.